John 17, if you'll take your Bibles and turn there. And as soon as I finish reading the scriptures, we'll split up. We'll go with, this is the south end of the building. So we'll make sure the warmer seasons are here. So we'll go spring here, summer there, winter back here, and then fall here, and then the death there, all right? Spring, summer, winter, and fall. Of course, they say down in Texas there's only two seasons, summer season and football season. That's all they say down in Texas. So anyway, John 17, verse number 1, the Bible says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said." How many of you have a red letter edition Bible that has Jesus' words in red? Could I ask you a very simple question for those that may not? Are there any more black words or black letters for the rest of this chapter? There are none, which means Jesus is speaking. Now watch this. Jesus lifts up his eyes to heaven and says. Interestingly, he doesn't say and prays, because he does pray, but it just says he says. I like that. Says and prays, says and praise are almost the same word, just a few different letters, right? They rhyme with each other, but think about it, okay? Verse 1, "Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee." Look at verse 2. "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." And by the way, two of them got that eternal life tonight. Praise the Lord. Now let's jump down to verse 8 for a second time. "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Look at verse 9. "I pray for them." Whoa. Jesus prayed for somebody else. Did you see that? "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." So Josh Lato's already been texting me and wanting to clarify what this is. Just give four things on why it's important to pray for each other, or why it's a blessing, or all of the above. I mean, you could simply say one of them because it's a command. I get that. You may have a list of five or six or seven, but leaders of these groups pick four, and then we'll have them shared with the church, and I'll come up close with a couple thoughts. So spring, summer, winter, fall, death, all right? Go ahead and go to your favorite seasons. Spring's over here. It's nice. The grass is growing again. Summer's back there. People are planning their trips to, Brother Helton, you got summer. Baseball season, right, Brother Helton? That's baseball season, summer. Fall right here. Did I say fall back here where everything starts to die? Fall's right here where everything's dead. You know, fall's so beautiful. It's only beautiful for 3 days. Then all the leaves fall and everything's dead. Those 3 days, Brother Sampson, that's still your favorite? Those 3 days are powerful, huh? 2.5. And then winter back here. I know if Marissa Mitchell was here, she'd be in winter. Is there any winter lovers? And then death. Wow, fall is number one. Brother Carlisle, you just like fall because it's hunting season. I know you. All right. Spring, summer, fall. Anybody winter? Nobody winter? All right, and then death. So we have four groups. If you think you're too small a group, then you can just join. Are you winter? Make the deaf winter? Okay, we'll make the deaf winter. Brother Piper says that you all are so cold. By the way, didn't the deaf do a great job on Sunday? Man, if you missed Deaf Awareness Sunday, you missed Deaf Awareness Sunday. It was awesome. All right. All right, you'll have about, 5-7 minutes to discuss, and let's go. All right, let's go ahead and wrap it all up. Go ahead and head on back to your seats. We'll still have an interpreter. Okay, we still have it. All right, leaders, come on up here, except for the deaf. I'll interpret for you. I heard some great discussion there. I hope it was clear, but, there are no wrong answers. There are no stupid answers. That's actually not true. We all know that that's not true. Let me just say, it was kind of neat. Brother Wesley Mitchell just texted me and said that the couple getting saved tonight was an answer to 2 years of prayer. And here's the neat thing about this, while we're getting ready to get into this subject tonight. Think about this, okay? I cannot honestly say that I personally prayed for Jim and Amy before last Wednesday night. I have not, but I got to be there when they both got saved tonight. But somebody else did. Wesley said that was an answer to tears prayer. I don't know if you heard, Brother Mark, Jim and Amy got saved this evening before church. And that's something the Mitchells have been praying about for a long time. And that's the amazing thing how God works. They were praying for somebody else, but Janelle and I, we didn't even know them. Janelle hadn't even really met them until tonight, right? But we both got to be in the room when they got saved. And that's the whole principle of how you know, Apollos planted, God watered, so-and-so watered, God gave the increase, right? God does all that work, but because somebody prayed for somebody else, it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of what we're talking about tonight. And it's going to get real good in a second, too. All right, so let's go ahead and start with the deaf. And let me just say again, they just did a fantastic job on Sunday. I'm so proud of them. I'm just let's give the deaf another hand. That was great Sunday. And Brother Sean, many said that next year you're going to actually have to preach. You or Chad will have to preach one of the services. You're going to preach? Okay, got a thumbs up there. All right, and maybe next year we'll have him preach. But anyway, they did a great job. All right, Michelle, you're the deaf's four. And I'll always interpret. Four things we got. First, Jesus died to save for us. So obviously that should compel us. The fact that we have salvation is to pray for others to get the same salvation. So that's important because of what we experience, we pray for them. Secondly, praying for others is powerful and inspiring for others. We don't realize how much our prayers for somebody else may inspire them and also give them power to make it through what they're going through. Third, when we pray for others, the burden we feel for somebody else has been put in his hands, and then we as prayer warriors are yielding the control of that prayer request to him so he'll take care of it. And finally, number four, we are showing love to those that we're praying for because we prayed for them. Wow. Good. Very good. All right. Let's go from worst to best. Let's go from fall. Let's start with fall. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever.
Well, we had quite the crowd, so you'd think I'd have some pretty good answers, but they were spitting off answers, and I was writing stuff down, and I don't know what was going on, so... But, no, just a few thoughts here that was given, but it's also, it's a healthy thing to pray for somebody else. I mean, we always have our own prayer requests, and, you know, that communication between us and God is always good. But praying for somebody else kind of makes their issue your personal, you know, what you are concerned about and just want to help them in and, you know, lift them up. Making it personal in your own, whatever you're talking about, whatever you're asking the Lord for or whatever, just making it a personal thing, not just making it a habit to say it every day and over, just really pondering on that and meditating on that. It gives us a better perspective of what that person is going through, or thing or yourself or whatever it may be. You know, you pray about it and you start thinking about it and you actually meditate on it, and then next thing you know, you have a different perspective on it, and, you know, the Lord will increase your knowledge on that subject. And then also just, you know, it's supportive, you know, to be able to pray for brethren and then just to communicate between each other, and then also having just somebody to check up on you, that's also nice too. So that's kind of what we got.
That's good. Thank you, Wes. Good job, Paul. Do you want to put a little spring?
Yeah.
Spring.
Amen. All right. A lot of people said that it's to show the other person love, especially in a time of need. And that's something we're called to do. Jesus said that, you know, we'll be known that we are his disciples because we love one another. It says in the Old Testament that Moses, I use the phrase, stood in the gap between the people of Israel and God, and he actually changed God's mind about the wrath of God because he interceded for them. And so the point of that is God does care about our prayers. Someone said that we should pray because it's a commandment, but I would throw in that we should pray because we can pray. That veil was rent from top to bottom. That's part of the sacrifice of Christ, as he is our great high priest. We have direct access to his throne room. Brother Tim Klink said that we ought to pray for our enemies because it reaps coals of fire on them. So that's a good way to... to get to your enemies. So that came straight from his mouth, for the record.
It's my first time up here.
Yeah.
Ever. First time up here. Just anytime I enter into the topic or think about prayer, I myself always think about how humbling it is to be able to have access, one, to the Father to pray to him, and that's granted to us through the Son, or his Son, Jesus Christ. So it's always humbling anytime I go into any sort of prayer, whether it be for the things that I need or want or desire, but then also whenever we're lifting up others in prayer. So that was one thing that was humbling. It grows our faith. It grows our faith through, I think, whenever we're honoring God and obeying God through praying for others as it's commanded, whenever you see a prayer and an answer to prayer come true after you've prayed for it over and over again, that just grows your faith. And then along with that as well, being conscious of when the Holy Spirit tells us to pray for someone. If you feel like the Lord has put someone in your heart, pray for that person right then and there. And then don't let that go either. Be mindful of that person and let that person know that you're praying for them and why you're praying for them. Let them know that God has put them on your heart.
Man, Coach Helton got some sweet Jordans on right there. I'm just going to say, man, those are some sweet J's. All right, Facebook crowd has this to say, and we appreciate those that are able to watch online. Thank you, Senator. Man, this is from Danette Fisher. In the Bible, it says to love one another. So when we pray for someone, we want God's will in their life to show support. So by praying, we are supporting each other, showing love through the will of God. Although it may not turn out the way we want, we must realize God's will is perfect. So to show love and support for one another. Great, great answer there. It is a love and support thing for sure. And then mom, Danette's mom, Linda Fisher. It would be very selfish for me not to pray for others. Very simple statement, yet so powerful. Josh Leto said, the blessing is that I have witnessed him. Oh, wait, that might be in the next page. Yes, the blessing is that I have witnessed him answering those prayers. Yep, I've witnessed him actually answering those prayers. And then Linda Fisher also says, it shows our love one to another, which has been stated several times here. There is power in prayer. And then Esther Ridenour, Esther, formerly Mosley, we miss her. She said, it is also a comfort to those knowing others are praying for them and helping them carry the burden with them that they are not alone. And then our sound room, I'm very proud of them. Usually they're up there playing games and stuff, but tonight they actually came up with a list. I'm so proud of the sound room men tonight. And it says, praying for others takes your thoughts off your own problems away. That's a great, great truth. It shows the person you love and care for them, which seems that to be a consistent theme. It instills hope in the person you are praying for. Those are all great. So let me give you a couple thoughts to wrap this all up together. Great, great discussion tonight. Great, great statements made. Let's go ahead and read, though, what Jesus says he's praying for them for. And then I want to reveal to you the part of this chapter that excites me the most because it becomes more personal to me. And then, Brilla, in a second, I'll kick you off and I'll sign the rest of it myself. Look at verse 9 again. I pray for them. I pray for them. Boy, you ought to circle those four words and just think about those four words, underline those four words, because Jesus in human form, knowing what he's about to endure, right? He would have appreciated prayer, I'm sure, right? But he prays for them. In this particular passage, he's talking about the ones that he has reached and ministered and loved, discipled and taught. He actually says in this passage here, I pray not for the world. And by the way, listen very carefully. A lot of Calvinists use that verse to say, see, Jesus, he's only praying for the elect. That is absolutely ridiculous. Because listen to me very carefully. John 3:16 solves that. And don't give me your world argument, Calvinist. I know what your world argument on that is. I believe the Bible. Watch this now. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say here. I pray for lost people a lot, but I don't pray for them all the time. And that's what Jesus is doing in this chapter. Jesus has prayed for lost people all the time. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He talks about praying for lost people throughout the passages in the scriptures. But in this particular chapter, this is what spotlights this. This is where Jesus says, I have some things I want to tell you. He's going to talk to a lost person. So the conversation we had with that couple tonight that needed to get saved was so different than a conversation I would have with Steve and Pat Sampson, if we're talking about the Bible, because they've already been saved. They got saved when Moses got off the mountainside. I mean, not Pat, because Miss Sampson's 29, perpetually 29. But the point I'm trying to make is you have different conversations with people at different times, right? And so in this particular chapter, though, don't miss the significance of this. In chapter 13, he washes their feet. In chapter 14, he talks about him coming back again and talks about how he's the only way, the truth, and the life. In John chapter 15, he talks about he's the vine, he's the branch, and without him, we can't do anything. We can do nothing, the Bible says. And now you get to John 17, and he's going to be crucified chronologically in the next chapter. He's going to be crucified, all right? He gets arrested in the next chapter. But in John chapter 17, he prays for his team. All right? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. I love that. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Wow. Stop for a second before I get into the message for tonight, the main part. Are we an answer to Jesus' prayer? There's so many Christians today that want to attack and divide other Christians. Why? When you do that, you are not an answer to his prayer. Because you're attacking as someone that is thine. I'm attacking somebody else that is thine. And yet people are constantly doing that. Man, it's just not right. All right, look at verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He's saying, Father, I chose 12, and I've reached many others. You know the one bad dude. He's out. We already know about him. And now I come to thee. Church, I love the human side of Jesus in this chapter. The son of man side. You see the human side. I almost feel like there's grief in that statement. We lost one. The scripture might be fulfilled. The son of perdition. And now come out of thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy. How would you like to have the joy of Jesus in your life? My joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word. Woo! And the world hath hated them. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Jesus is like, don't take them out of this. We got work to do, but keep them from the evil while they're in the world. He wants you and me to stay right now and be busy. Rana sent us a very powerful, convicting video yesterday. I'll probably be sharing it in church, where one of my preacher friends, Paul Chappell, interviewed a Muslim that got saved. And he was discovered and found out, and he was tortured and abused and in unbelievable ways. We'll show you the video sometime soon. And when Paul Chappell was interviewing this Christian, former Muslim, he said, what do you say to American Christians? Don't miss this now. What do you say to American Christians who don't witness like they should? And this is his response. Are they not really Christians? That's what he asked. Boy, that's enough to give an invitation right now. He can't. It boggles his mind. Like, how would you not? You got the freedom to do it and you're not doing it? What, are they not Christians? Wow. It's a powerful video. Thank you, Rand, for sending that. I think Grant sent it to the teen group today. I hope you all got to watch that. All right. So he says, you got to stand there. Look at verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now stop. Here we go. It's going to get real sweet right now. This is great because I'm outside the restaurant looking in, and Jesus is praying for his disciples. And that's great. I'm looking in. And all of a sudden I hear the door open. The door opens. And somebody says, hey, come in here, Randy. What? No, he's not. He's praying for the disciples. No, come on in, Randy. Look. And for their sakes, verse 19, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. That's you and that's me. Thank you, Brianna. So think about this, okay? I often, as pastor, some of you might be in this room, I get asked all the time to do references for people in their jobs. I mean, everything from fast food restaurants to high-tech jobs. I guess people meet me as a pastor and think, oh, pastor will have them reference people. Right now, I'm a reference for Brother Bussey. And I need to confess, the reason he doesn't have a church, every time they call me, I say he sleeps till noon, he doesn't do anything for God. So, just kidding, I don't say that. I want to say that. I told him I wanted to say that, but I don't say that. But it's amazing how I always say yes, okay? I probably should not sometimes, because, like, I'll never forget, maybe it was 2-3 years ago, a guy came to church, like, 2-3 weeks, barely knew him, but he gave my name and number as a reference. The job calls me, and it's like, how reliable is this man? I think he's pretty reliable. who's reliable enough to give me his information so that I could call and talk to you all about this, right? Is this man dependable? Sure, we'll go with that, right? And I don't want to put a bad word in him, because obviously this individual wants a job and is hoping that I will go to bat for them, because my answers could sway what the hiring person will do with the person that's applying for the job. That's what prayer is all about. Jesus is putting a reference in for you and me right here. He's telling God the Father, listen, I know that getting joy is kind of hard to come around in 2022. Gas prices are up. Groceries are up. The world's going crazy. I mean, people don't even know what gender they are. And it just seems like every week we hear more crazy news that you say to yourself, it just can't get any worse. And then something else comes out and you're like, wow, we just can't believe it, right? But Jesus says, hey, I'm not just praying all these things for these disciples right now, the Peter and the James and the John and Bart. I call him Bart. Bartholomew, Bart, and Thad. And Thad, Thaddeus is a disciple. Thad, brother Thad. Thad and all these other, Philip and all these other disciples, right? He's praying it for you and me. So for three quick things I want you to think about. Number one, he prayed for me. All right, take it personal right now. Think about that. Jesus prayed for me. Let's say that together. He prayed for me. Ready? One, two, three. He prayed for me. Say it again. He prayed for me. There it is. Verse 20. Neither pray I for thee alone, but for them also which shall, future tense, believe on me through their word. Wow. He prayed for me. Say it again. He prayed for me. What a blessing. Hold on. It's number two. He prayed for you. Say that. He prayed for you. Look at somebody and say, hey, he prayed for you. Go ahead and tell somebody. He prayed for you. Look at your neighbor and say, he prayed for you. Think about it. He prayed for you. Oh, all of a sudden now we realize it's not just a selfish, oh, wow, he prayed for me because I'm special. No, he prayed for you because you're special too. And in love, I say he probably prayed for you more because I didn't need it that much. Just kidding. I'm not going to say that tonight. All right. He prayed for me. He prayed for you. And number three, you ready for this? He prayed for us. He prayed for us. Let's say it together. Ready? One, two, three. He prayed for us. Say it again. He prayed for us. We saved, born-again Christians. God the Father prayed for me. He prayed for you. And, well, he prayed for all of us together. How would you like to be on Jesus' prayer list? Newsflash. You were. Hold on a second. You are. Because he still intercedes on our behalf. The best attorney that ever lived is Jesus. I heard a preacher say one time, and God bless lawyers. I know they can be a blessing sometimes anyway. But the Bible, someone said that Jesus even spoke highly of Pharisees sometimes, but he never spoke highly of lawyers in the Bible. He even spoke highly of bankers, Brother George. I'm sorry, I know you're probably disappointed by that, but anyway, no. But the fact is, Jesus himself petitions to his Father on our behalf. So he prays for me. He prays for you. Isn't that awesome? Wait a minute. He prays for all of us. The struggles we had, he's praying for us. He's thinking of you and for me. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody that you've known in your Christian life that you're like, I'm glad I'm on his prayer list? Yeah. There's some people I'm very glad to be on the prayer list. I'm really glad I'm on Mrs. Carlisle's prayer list. I'm glad I'm on my mother-in-law's prayer list. I'm glad I'm on my mom's prayer list. My mom prays for me regularly. I'm very glad I'm on my wife's prayer list. Because I've seen them get answers to prayer. Hey, Tom Williams, anybody heard of him? Yeah. Famous prayer. I'm on his prayer list. Have you ever heard that man pray? I'm on his prayer list. I asked him years ago, and I bumped him years later, and he came up to me and said, Brother Randy, I pray for you every Tuesday. I think it's every Tuesday is the day he prays for me. Tuesday's always the best day of my week. It's weird how it works out that way. All right? I can't wait till Tuesday now. But the fact is, to be on somebody's prayer list, all the things you said, all those things, watch this. This is what it did, and I say this with the utmost respect to Christ. All these things brought Jesus Christ down to our level when Jesus said, hey, I actually listened to this, went to my knees, and I prayed for you. And in just a few days, he dies on the cross. Then he resurrects, and he still prays for you and for me. And Jesus says, here's what I want to tell you. This is what I want you to know. This is Jesus. And this is what I want you to know. You ready for this? I pray for you. Wow. So, let's be an answer to his prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thanks for listening so long.
The point of weary, is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years until the past it disappears? Let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. Amen.
Take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. Let my Jesus change your life.